الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace, send His salutations and His blessings upon the final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Amma ba'd. We continue in our discussion on the Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin for the noble Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi alayhi rahmatullah. And a couple of weeks ago, was it? We were discussing the etiquette of food consumption, dealing with people, so on and so forth. And tonight, inshallah, we will be getting into further details on this issue. So the Shaykh says, he says in a new chapter, Fasl, وَأَمَّا أَحْضَارُ الطَّعَامِ فَلَهُ خَمْسَةُ أَدَابٍ. Bringing food out to the people has five etiquettes. Five things you have to bear in mind when presenting food to the people. For example, do you bring soup and you pour it on the guest? Huh? Or you, like, you know, when you have a cat, or you put the food in the corner, say, over there, go eat, and come back? Obviously not, right? If you were to do so, the person would leave. Huh? So he said, الأول تعجيله فذلك من إكرام الضيف. First, تعجيل. What is تعجيل, يا شعيب? Huh? Anyone can translate تعجيل from عجلة, استعجل.
To make it quick.
Okay, rushing. How about hasting? Hastening, specifically. Well, quickly is not the same. Wait a second. Calm down, Shreya. We all understand that it has to do with speed. Like rushing, doing it quickly, instantly, fast. All these are good. But they're not the exact term I'm looking for. Because we have this term appearing in Hajj. Ta'ajjul. Sahih? Ta'ajjul in 2 days. And we have to be familiar with the term because it has other usages. So knowing the exact meaning will help us in the future when we hear this term again, know exactly what might be intended. So here it means that you're hasten in bringing out the food, which is doing it quickly and rushing it and so on and so forth. No problem. We're not denying these other meanings. Why? He said this is part of being, you know, honoring the guest. It's part of honoring the guest. الثاني, and this is interesting, by the way, for a number of reasons. تقديم الفاكهة أولا قبل غيرها. Presenting or bringing out the fruit before something else. وذلك أصلح من باب الطب. And this is even better medically. And this is proven, by the way. Scientifically, now according to some doctors, I'm not a doctor, but I've heard from non-Islamic sources that it is better for the body that for you to consume fruits before you consume the actual meal. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And this is where they got this understanding from. وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. So when Allah described the people of Jannah in Surah Al-Rahman, He began by saying, it's Rahman. Waqi'ah? Waqi'ah, ahsant. Fakiha, what is fakiha? Yatafakkah. Fruits, right? Yatafakkah means fruits also? He fruits himself? Yatafakkah is to actually enjoy oneself. Right? Because fakiha means for you to, you try it, you eat an apple and you dislike it. You feel like good. You don't know why. SubhanAllah, fruits do make you feel good. وَفَاكِهَةٍ مَّمَّا يَتَخَيْرُونَ. And fruits of their own choice, which they choose. Then, وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِّمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. And then, the meat of a bird which they desire or they seek. So Allah began with the fakiha, then لَحْمُ الطَّيْرِ. So they understood from that, then you also, in the same manner, you begin with the fruits and then the other meat or whatever you're going to eat. Now, our habits are the opposite.
You eat the heavy stuff and then you have a fruit afterwards. You have some orange, banana after you have done. Ala kulli hal, this is not a matter of wajib or haram. This is just all flexible. Just preferences. ثم أفضل ما يقدم بعد الفاكهة اللحم خصوصا المشوي. أيوة. Then the best thing which you can offer someone after fruit is meat, specifically barbecued meat. You know, the Middle Eastern kind of dishes, maybe Turkish as well. All the kebab and shish tavuk and all that good stuff. I know you're hungry. Calm down. Calm down. Soon, inshallah, we can even make it all up. ثم أفضل طعام بعد اللحم الثريد. Then the best food after meat is ثريد. Does anyone know? Have you heard of ثريد before? ثريد. Does it come in a hadith? Does it come? Have we heard it in a hadith before? Yes, sir. It's a mixture of many different things. But anyways, it's one of the fanciest foods at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. That's why when speaking about the women, he said, وَفَضْلُ عَائِشَةِ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. The virtue of Aisha radiallahu anha over the rest of the women is like the virtue of this particular meal over the rest of the meals. So this is the five star. This is the peak of the food. And this is an evidence about the status of Aisha radiallahu anha. And then you have some clowns who come today and who want to speak ill about the mother of the believers and accuse her of things which are unbefitting, while the Prophet says something like that about her. Ajeeb. وتتم هذه الطيبات بشرب الماء البارد. All of these good, you know, these goods are concluded with drinking cold water. Subhanallah. وتكملة الأمر صب الماء الفاتر على اليد عند الغسل. And then after all of that is done, you have some warm water for you to wash your hand. So this is the ideal setup at the time of the righteous predecessors. You have some fruits followed up with some meat, preferably something barbecued or thareed or something along these lines. Then you drink some cold water. I missed the sweet. Mashallah, you're paying attention to the sweet, huh? You need some sweets, brother. ثم الحلوى, mashallah. Then halwa, that's right. Then the sweets, I apologize. This is a big mistake I made. Allahu musta'an. Maybe they're going to cancel the dars from now on. How could you forget the sweet? We came here for the sweet. Al-halwa, yeah? Now this could be a disaster, by the way. And you don't be so excited about the halwa. Because maybe the halwa back then is not like the halwa today. Today, it's sugar. Lots and lots of sugar. Yani sometimes one piece of cake with all the cream and all the stuff that they add is enough for you. You would have to run for a good 5 kilometers to burn, you know, the calories which you gain from that one qita, yani this one little tiny piece. Let alone someone who's excited on some, you know, a wedding or something, and he's chopping up triangles, you know, one, and then oh, they go try from the other one, and then the other one. Yeah, and by the time he's done, he's in some big trouble. Is in terms of his body. Now we're speaking from a perspective of the Muslim looking after himself, maintaining one's health, making sure one is fit, one is in shape. These are all Islamic requirements. This body is an amana. And the lifestyle which we have become accustomed to is one of lazy people. Elevator to go upstairs and a car to go for a 1 minute walk. And all we do is eat, and then we have to drink chai after we eat, and it's just relaxation upon relaxation. At work, we're sitting on the desk, and when we, yani, there's hardly any exercise. Now compare this to the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when they were riding horses and camels and having to travel distances on their feet and using animals and no elevators, no transportation, no cars, no airplanes. Huge difference. So this is why the Prophet ﷺ would actually have to tie rocks around his stomach, his belly, because there was nothing. There was nothing. And there are narrations that speak about a time in the Ummah where people will come who will be overweight and obese. Someone who's very fat. So we have to also be mindful of this is not something that is okay. Just because it's all over the place does not make it okay. What is okay is what we learn from the sunnah. You try to live according to the thuluth formula. Try to have breakfast, lunch and dinner, 1/3 for food, 1/3 for drink and 1/3 for air, and see how much weight you will gain. Nothing. Because that third you will burn in between these meals. And so you will be able to maintain your weight, but we don't have this now. We just eat. Until you, every time we eat until we are full. Pretty much. Rarely do we just stop before we're full. So it's a serious issue that needs to be addressed. Wallahu musta'an. Al-halwa, Fadilat al-Shaykh. Now, al-thalith, an yuqaddima jami' al-alwan al-hadira. Thirdly, to present all available colors. Is that possible? Like you bring different colors? What do they mean by alwan? Variety. The word lawn could mean a color, as in the colors you see, or it could mean a kind, depending on the context. So alwan al-mukhtalifa could mean red, blue, yellow, green, or could be a variety of things, meaning meat and other, you know, vegetables, fruits, so on and so forth. Al-rabi', this is the fourth etiquette. ألا يبادر إلى رفعها بل يمكنهم من الاستيفاء حتى يرفعوا أيديهم. He does not remove it, huh? He does not remove it, rather he gives them the ability and the chance to get their fulfillment out of it before he removes the plate. يعني you bring someone some barbecue and as soon as they enjoy the first one, okay, خلاص. We have to take it back. Yeah, Sheikh, but that piece over there. La wallah, brother, I gave you 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes to eat. If you don't finish in 5 minutes, it's not my problem. So the Sheikh is saying, don't do this. Let the people, until they're done and sufficed, then remove the plates. You may remove something they want. Al-khamis, an yuqaddima min al-ta'ami qadr al-kifaya. Fa'anna al-taqleela min al-kifayati naqsun fil muru'a. That you should provide them with sufficient amount of food. Decreasing the amount of food so that it is less below the sufficient, it will actually affect your credibility. It will lower your status as a man, as someone who's generous and kind. Because they're going to say, what's up with this guy? You know, giving me... Okay, you want to apply the 1/3. It doesn't mean you offer him 1/3. Say, brother, wallah, I got you this, you know, this tiny little thing here, because the sunnah has to eat 1/3. So this one, and then you give him 1/3 cup of water. See, this is a cup of water, is 1/3 for you, and then you can breathe on the balcony when you're done. Huh? So this is, we can live according to the sunnah together. No, you don't do that to the brother. You give him the food and then he learns, you know, you remind him of the sunnah. And would it even be wise to remind him of the sunnah while you invite him? Not really. Because you're almost telling him, like, stop eating my food. Okay, but your excuse is that to stick to the 1/3. So you use another occasion, not after you invite him. It's not going to work very well. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَعْزِلَ لِأَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ نَصِيبَهُمْ قَبْلَ تَقْدِيمِ الطَّعَامِ. And you should also dedicate a portion of the food to the family before you offer the food, assuming you bring in it from outside. Obviously, if the wife is cooking it, then she's already taken a portion for herself and the children. فإذا أراد الضيف الانصراف ينبغي أن يخرج معه إلى باب الدار فإنه سنة. If the guest wishes to leave, then you should walk with him to the door until the exit. He said this is a sunnah. No, that's what he said. He said it's a sunnah. No. What is the athar? Where's the narration? What does the narration say? There's no narration in the book.
I have it in the footnote.
Nah, they have it in the footnote. See, this is why his book is superior. إِنَّ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ الرَّجُلُ مَعَ ضَيْفِي إِلَى بَابِ الدَّارِ ضَعِيفَ بِمَزَ فِي الْأَطْعِمَ بَابِ الضِّيَافَ جَمِيلٍ. So the reference which is used for this particular one is a weak narration. طيب, let's set aside that. Do we have something called عُرْف? What is urf?
Tradition,
cultural habits. If the culture required of you to walk someone to the door, do you do it or not? Do you do it or not? You have to do it. If the person considers it an insult, huh? You sit on the couch, all right, akhi, ciao. Barakallah, there's the door. Assalamu alaikum. If he considers this to be an insult, are you now required to walk him to the door? Yes. Whether it is a sunnah or not. Why? Because urf has its own credibility and authority in Islam as long as it doesn't conflict with the sunnah. If we had a narration which said, do not walk the guest to the door because it is resembling the Jews and the Christians, for example. And then you said, wallahi, but the urf says that we do it, then it becomes impermissible because with this urf of yours, you're going against the sunnah. If the sunnah doesn't stipulate what to do, and the urf itself doesn't have a conflict with any of the fundamental principles of Islam, then the urf has its authority. Is that clear? So in some cultures, when you see the elderly, you put their hand on your head as means of respect. Do we have anything in Islam which prevents that? Not really. Not really. Unless you're bowing. You don't want to bow for you to do that. If your head is straight up and you put the hand on the head, you have no issue. So no one can come and say you cannot do this. Why? It's not a sunnah. The sunnah doesn't have to tell you do or not to do in this regard. If there is not to do, then now you have a conflict with the sunnah. You can no longer do it. If this is not the case, then urf has its own authority. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. And then the qa'id, al-urf jari, among the fuqaha. Al-urf is ongoing, it's valid, it's effective, provided that it does not conflict with the sunnah. So this is the issue. But at any rate, the very evidence for this one is inauthentic. Therefore, we cannot say now it's a sunnah. You cannot say it's a sunnah to walk the person to the door. We say, is that part of the culture? Yes, then now out of the sunnah of respecting the guest and honoring the guest, you walk him to the door. Not the walking itself. But it falls under the category of honoring the guest. Clear? We hope so. وذلك من إكرام الضيف ومن تمام الإكرام طلاقة الوجه ومن تمام الإكرام طلاقة الوجه. And from the highest point of honoring the guest is smiling. يعني you invite someone and then they knock on a door and you open a door. تفضل أخي, go ahead, sit down. I'll bring the food in a few minutes. I mean, the mother's going to say, what is this, a funeral or something, man? What? And you're upset the whole time. Is that, if you were the guest, how would you feel? Huh? You say, let's go. Wallah, I think I have to go right now. Do you want me to get you food? Are you upset that you paid some money for the food? What is your problem? So the highest point of being is making the person feel that you're happy. Hayyakallah marhaba. You're happy that this person honored you with his arrival, so they can feel special. Otherwise, you looking upset, it's going to make you upset. وطيب الحديث عند الدخول والخروج على المائدة وعلى المائدة. And the good speech and conversation upon entering and upon leaving and while sitting, conversing, while eating, discussing things that are, you know, entertaining to the guest. وأما الضيف, now the etiquettes for the guest himself. فينبغي أن يخرج طيب النفس وإن جرى في حقه تقصير. He should leave while having neutral feeling. No hard feelings. No, he's not, even if there were shortcomings in regards to his right. Yani the host did not treat him well, did not offer him enough, may have had some shortcomings. The guest shouldn't display that, become upset, or feel upset that he wasn't treated well. He should always leave on a good note, even if his right wasn't given to him during the visitation. فَذَلِكَ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ وَالتَّوَاضُعِ. This is part of good character and humbleness. وَلَا يَخْرُجْ إِلَّا بِرِضَ صَاحِبِ الْمَنْزِلِ وَإِذْنِهِ. And he should not leave except with the permission of the owner of the house. With the permission of the owner of the house. يعني you go to someone's place and they say, one second, let me go get the tea. He goes to get the tea, you open the door and you leave. He comes back, where's the brother? Wallah, you call him on the phone, wallah, I left, ya Shaykh. I just decided that it's time for me to go. He may come and think someone kidnapped you, or maybe think that you're in the bathroom waiting for you for 15, 20 minutes. So you cannot leave until you notify him. وَيُرَاعِ قَلْبَهُ فِي قَدْرِ الْإِقَامَةِ. And you should also be observant of his status, يعني his heart, in a sense, at the length of your stay. Pay attention. Because some people, you know, they really push it. I'm not hinting at anyone here, okay? Oh, you are all welcome in my place. But I'm just saying, no, don't misunderstand me. Some people really push it. يعني خلاص, you have work the next day, and you have other things to do, and they just sit in there chit-chatting and socializing endlessly. So you as a guest, you have to be mindful of the people you're visiting. You offer every now and then, hi, akhi, maybe you have work tomorrow, maybe it's time for me to leave. Until you see sincerely saying, la, yashid, wallahi, I'm okay, I go to work 9 in the morning, I have no... Until you get the sense of security that you're fine. But if you sense that he may want you to leave, don't wait for him to say, wallahi, barakallah feek, the time is late. Don't wait till this moment. Be intelligent. Anytime you visit anyone, observe. If you find that you're being a burden, leave with respect. Don't become a burden upon people. Speaking of burdens, the chapter of marriage. Did anyone get that? I guess not. Huh? كتاب النكاح وآدابه وما يتعلق به. The chapter of marriage and the etiquettes of marriage and everything which is related to that. The Sheikh said, لا يختلف العلماء في أن النكاح مستحب مندوب إليه كثير الفضائل وفيه فوائد. The scholars do not differ that marriage is recommended. It is invited towards, it is propagated and called for. It is full of virtues and benefits. Many virtues and benefits exist in marriage. Some of you are saying where? Minha al-walad. The first of them is al-walad. Who's al-walad? Huh? Al-walad is children? Yes, yeah. What did he do for awlad? Children's? Huh? Because that's a common mistake. Say the children's came. Which children's? The many children. Ma, children is the plural, ya Mhandis. Child, children. Huh? Be careful of this one in your English exams. So you're saying what? Walad is what? Child? Tab, a child is a male or a female? Tayyib, so a walad is? A boy particularly. Even though in the Arabic language, this is not always the case. For example, Allah says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Now, this, even though it is referring to al-abna, because you have banat and abna, generally it is understood to include both. But Allah refers to what is more common. The same way you say, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. It's actually walid and walida. And one masculine and one feminine cannot become muthanna, dual. They both have to be the same to be dual. But this is the way the Arabic language works. You say walidan or walidain, which is literally two fathers, in reference to the father and the mother. The same way they say al-qamaran, and they mean by al-qamaran, al-shamsu wal-qamar. So this is related to the Arabic language. Don't panic. Anyways, الولد لأن المقصودة بقاء النسل. The intent behind marriage is the continuity of the offspring. Children coming into the world to maintain human beings. وفيه فوائد محبة الله تعالى بالسعي لذلك ليبقى جنس الإنسان. And the benefit in that is sought in seeking Allah's love, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by striving to make sure that human beings prevail, that they remain and exist. وفيه طلب محبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في تكثير من به مباهاته. And also you seek... Okay. And in it, no, but there are other narrations about the Prophet ﷺ that he will be proud of the large of his ummah. So even that particular narration is not weak. There are narrations to the effect that the more, the better for the ummah. The Prophet ﷺ. So you seek love of the Prophet ﷺ by increasing the number of the ummah whom he will be proud of on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we know the ummah of Islam will be larger than the ummah of Musa ﷺ, and larger from the ummah of Isa ﷺ and Nuh and Ibrahim. The largest ummah will be the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. We will be the last and the first. Meaning the last of nations to come, because he's the last messenger and the first one on Yawm al-Qiyamah to enter paradise and to get all the ajr and the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the privilege which Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon us. وَفِيهِ طَلَبُ التَّبَرُّكِ بِدُعَاءِ الْوَلَدِ الصَّالِحِ وَالشَّفَاعَةِ بِمَوْتِ الْوَلَدِ الصَّغِيرِ. And among the benefits also is seeking the barakah of the dua of the righteous son or a child. Because we know from the hadith, when the person of Adam dies, his deeds are cut off except from three sources, and one of them is وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ, a righteous son who invokes Allah Azza wa Jal and supplicates to Allah on behalf of his father or for his father. وَالشَّفَاعَةُ بِمَوْتِ الْوَلَدِ الصَّغِيرِ. And a person receives intercession if his young child were to die. If someone's young child were to die, لا قدر الله, then there's a shafa'ah in the death of this young boy or girl. So even the loss of a child, which none of us would like as human beings, طبيعة الإنسان, the nature of human beings, it's you dislike the loss and the death of anyone. If it were to happen, there's still mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal in that very thing. ومن فوائد النكاح التحصن أو التحصن من الشيطان يدفع غوائل الشهوة وفيه ترويح النفس وإناسها بمخالطة الزوجة. And from among the benefits of marriage is to protect oneself from the shaitan, which is working hard on one's desires. And also it's a form of relaxation and having fun while mixing with the wife, provided that one has fun when mixing with the wife. Now, sometimes a husband, may not have fun with his wife because he is boring. You understand what I'm saying? You can't blame the woman for that. Sometimes the brothers are the silly ones. Yani he thinks he's some president. You know, he looks at on TV and he sees this guy in North Korea, Jin Bong Hun, whatever his name is, sitting there issuing commands of, you know, nuclear weapons against the state. And, you know, a young man, and he looks at all these presidents, he says, well, I guess I'm at work, I'm an employee in this world, I'm a regular citizen. The only place I can be a president is at home. So he goes out to his wife and kids and he wants to now practice warfare against them. And then he wonders why he doesn't have fun. Because he is too strict. Too strict. You gotta have fun with them. The Sahaba themselves, and I don't know whether the athar is attributed to Umar radiallahu anhu or other than Umar, but they said, when we were out, we would be men. And when we are with our wives, we are like children. The Prophet ﷺ used to race Aisha on foot. Which man right now will go with his wife and run, assuming they are in an area which is private? Maybe the excuse now, wallahi, I cannot run in the middle of the street, people will see my wife. Say, Zakallah khair. Valid excuse. Zadakallahu hirsan ala ahlik. Let's say you went out in the barriya, somewhere in the sahara, no one can see you. Will you run with your wife? Most men will tell you, la ya shaykh, see me, a child. I'm an old man. I'm a grown man. You're not better than the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Calm down, man. Calm down. You're not better than the Messenger of Allah. If he did it, you can do it. But you have to have that mentality that when you are with your wife, you have to be fun. You have to joke. You have to, you know, you have to be easygoing. You have to entertain them so you can enjoy. Otherwise, it's going to be too serious of a life. It's not an office and she's not your secretary. This is where we often fail. And then we wonder why we're, you know, running away from home, spending the time at the coffee shop. You just like the waiter better, the male waiter, I mean. وَمِنْهَا تَفْرِيقٌ. Just in case somebody misunderstood me, man, because we're living in days where everything is misinterpreted. So you have to make certain clarification for the purpose of clarification. وَمِنَ تَفْرِيغُ الْقَلْبِ عَنْ تَدْبِيرِ الْمَنْزِلِ وَالتَّكَفُّلِ بِمَا يُشْغِلُ الطَّبْخِ والكنس والفرش وتنظيف الأواني وتهيئة أسباب العيش. And also is to kind of, you know, vacuum your heart in a sense that you don't have to busy your heart with all of the house chores and arrangement, all the things pertaining to the house, like having to worry about cooking, unless you love cooking, of course, and mopping and sweeping and cleaning the stuff and washing the dishes. As a man, you cannot do this always. You do it before marriage because you're, you know, single, you're a bachelor, you don't have many choices, and it is, you feel like a woman, by all means. If you were to stand behind the sink and you put in that, you know, what do you call that?
Fairy,
there you go, that's the one I'm looking for. And you just, you have this gloves and everything, and an apron, brother. Would you want to, you know, when people come over, open the door for them like this? Ahlan wa sahlan, tfadda sayyida. Were you the same one giving khutbah last week? What happened here? Yani, it's not really the best condition for her. Something is wrong. Now, you may do it out of niceness to your wife. She's tired, she had a long day, say, ma fi mushkila, it's on me, I'll wash the dishes, okay. But for you as a man to be at home cooking and cleaning, it just doesn't register. And women have to understand that. It's abnormal. If a man did that, we will have to question his manhood. There will be an issue with his manhood. It's because it conflicts with the position of a man to do this all the time. I'm not referring to anything particular, by the way. Just in case people misunderstand me. Help, ya Sheikh, that's fine. You can vacuum every now and then, wash the dishes every now and then. But if the wife is sitting there, you know, drinking coffee, and you're the one vacuuming all day, something's wrong. That's what I'm referring to. And she tells you, you left that corner right there. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like some more sugar? Ma khalas. Plus, your children are going to get confused. When they see you, they're going to say, Mama, what do you have for lunch? And when they see their mother, they're going to call her Baba. Because the kids also know that they are different roles. You'll have confused children. المهم فإن الإنسان يتعذر عليه أكثر ذلك مع الوحدة ولو تكفل به لضاع أكثر أوقاته. The person cannot do this on his own, and if he were to do this, he would waste most of his time trying to look after these things. ولم يتفرغ للعلم والعمل. He will never have time to earn or seek knowledge nor to work. He need to work. فالمرأة الصالحة عون على الدين بهذه الطريقة إذ اختلاف هذه الأسباب شواغل للقلب. So the righteous woman is an aid in this regard for the brother. So then, all of these issues that may occupy the heart are taken care of by the woman who is more professional and more experienced in handling these chores. She knows how to manage these things way better than a man ever could by default. So this is from the mercy of Allah. وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِهِ أَيْضًا مُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ ورياضتها بالرعاية والولاية. From among the benefits is struggling with oneself, and also exercising leadership and looking after people and being in a state of authority. والقيام بحقوق الأهل and establishing the rights of the family. والصبر على أخلاقهن and being patient over the woman's character and manners, because women can be tough to deal with. Women can be very tough to deal with. And therefore the Prophet ﷺ said that he saw that the majority of the inhabitants of the fire were women. Why? يَكْفُرْنَ الْعَشِيرَ. They will be ungrateful after a long period of favors. A man will do for years good to his wife, and then for a couple of months or whatever situation he's in, he doesn't do as well. Suddenly she acts like he's never done anything good for her. This is called kufran al-ashira or kufr al-ashira. And it's being ungrateful to the husband. So the sisters have to be careful about that. Sometimes the tongue will take you places you don't want to go. وَاحْتِمَالِ الْأَذَى مِنْهُنَّ. And also being patient of the harm you may get from your wife. Of course she doesn't beat you. والسعي في إصلاحهن وإرشادهن إلى طريق الدين. And you should strive in guiding them and you know directing them to the matters of the deen. والاجتهاد في كسب الحلال لأجلهن. And you should strive to earn lawful income for their sake. والقيام بتربية الأولاد. And also raising the children. وكل هذه أعمال عظيمة الفضل. All of these are very virtuous deeds. فإنها رعاية وولاية. It is means of authority and looking after people. وفضل الرعاية عظيم وإنما يحترز منها من يخاف من القصور عن القيام بحقها. Anyways, this is a very virtuous status, which is the one where you're looking after others. Obviously, the giver, the hand, which the upper hand is better than the lower hand. But he said, the one who has to be careful of this is the one who cannot establish these rights. He has to be cautious that he may get into this and wind up backfiring, provided that he doesn't know what he's doing. على كل حال, we're almost done, so don't panic. ومقاساة الأهل والولد بمنزلة الجهاد في سبيل الله عز وجل. And being able to survive and go through the struggles of looking after the wife and the children is a form of struggling in the cause of Allah عز وجل. وفي أفراد مسلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال دينار أنفقته في سبيل الله ودينار أنفقته في رقبة ودينار تصدقت به على مسكين ودينار أنفقته على أهلك أفضلهم الدينار الذي أنفقته على أهلك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said a dinar is what? It's currency, amount of money. It's an amount of money. Let's just say 100 riyals or 50 riyals, just to make it easy for now. Example, not that one dinar is equal to 50 riyals. 50 riyals which you spend fi sabilillah, meaning for people engaged in fighting fi sabilillah. Or 50 dinars which you 50 riyals, dinars, which you spend on raqaba. What does raqaba mean? Fakku raqaba. Huh? Which is, what is the technical term in English? There's a technical term in English for freeing a slave. Emancipate. To emancipate. Emancipation or emancipating a slave. Just so you will know. In case you read it in a book, say, what is emancipate? It is to set free. Mashi? Emancipate. Look it up in a dictionary when you're free, inshallah. وَدِنَارٌ تَصَدَّقْتُ بِهِ عَلَى مِسْكِينَ Or, تَصَدَّقْتَ بِهِ عَلَى مِسْكِينَ Or a dinar, let's say 50 riyals, which you spend on a miskin. So first, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Second, you emancipate a slave. Third, you give it to some poor person, some truly needy person. مِسْكِين أَسْكَنَتُهُ الْحَاجَةِ Someone whose poverty has prevented him from being able to earn a living. Or he makes less than half of what he needs to survive. This is a miskin. وَدِنَارٌ أَنْفَقْتَهُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ And then a dinar which you spend on your family. What did the Prophet ﷺ, after enumerating all of these, his commentary was, the best of them is the one which you spend on your family. That's great news. That's fantastic. Isn't it? يعني when you're going out with your wife and kids, and you go buy them shawarma, or kebab, or food and tamiz, or whatever that may be, The best one is the one where you're actually spending on your own family. Now when you spend on your own family, do you watch or do you eat? Now I want to meet a brother who watches. He's a nice guy. Well, like, you guys go ahead, I'm just going to watch. You're going to eat as well. So this is from the mercy of Allah and to the husband and to his, in Islam. That the actual best one is the one you spend on your family. And the one you spend on your family is the one you're spending on yourself. These are your kids. You are happy when they are happy. Versus a stranger. Not discouraging the dinar on fi sabilillah or the dinar fi raqaba or the dinar fi miskin. But in terms of virtue, this is the most virtuous. If you have 5 dinars and you can spend on your family and then... أبواب الخير كثيرة. There's many different doors or entrances for goodness and ajr. So a person should try to knock on each one of these doors and get awarded and rewarded accordingly. على كل حال, with this hadith, inshallah ta'ala, we conclude this particular session. And inshallah, next week we will be dealing with some of the defects that may result of marriage, the unsuccessful marriage. We spoke about the benefits of marriage, but also marriage comes with baggage. And if you don't know how to manage your marital life, you may wind up wasting most of your time dealing with the problems related to marriage without really gaining the benefits. So inshallah, that will be addressed, and then we will try to learn from that what are the things we have to avoid when dealing with our spouses to ensure a life of comfortability and relaxation. Because it's critical for our spiritual life to be on good terms with our wives and our kids. Otherwise, life is tough. So هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.
Do we have a lecture on